listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Are you ever?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
How are
Thursday,
you?
February 21st.
It's good to see you.
And it's finally kind of normalized out there from this severe storm that we had the other
severe
night.
Severe storm.
Wasn't it severe?
You're a Southern Californian, if ever there was
what?
One. I love you guys with your severe storm. It was a severe storm. It was 50, and
too cold
I didn't
to
know
shop
what
in
we
Beverly
would
Hills.
Do. What we would do. I needed a scarf. And a muff.
Yes.
No.
I'm
those of us
cold.
That are East Coasters.
I'm a California boy.
Yes, you are. Yes,
yep.
you are. We would like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We have two guests in studio today and yet a third who will join us on the electric telephone in just a few moments. First, we have a producer with more hits than you can shake a critic at. Do you like that?
I love shaking critics.
Don't we all? The latest hit is about to hit the boards, actually, at the historic El Portal Theater here in North Hollywood. It's West Coast premiere. Please welcome Mark Schwartz.
Welcome, Mark.
Great to be here.
You're looking, sporting a very nice tan, I might add.
Huh? Yeah, well, I just came from West Palm Beach.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry for me.
Yeah, for you. For you.
And a gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, who may not look like your traditional musical theater superstar, but he certainly is. However, musical theater barely scratches the surface of his many talents and accomplishments in a fascinating, unconventional, and astonishingly successful career. Please welcome Ramin Karimloo.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks,
Ramin, I'm going to apologize right now. I will probably mispronounce your name a couple of times. I don't know why. Although the Ramin helps, the R-A-M-E-E-N, thinking of it that way, even though it's not spelled that way.
There's so many versions of my name, I don't even know what's
original. You respond to them all,
yeah.
right?
I love them all. Yeah. As long as they're calling.
Yes, exactly. Good point. Good point.
Well, Paul, before we get into talking to our guest who's waiting on the telephone, mm-hmm. How was your week? Real quickly.
It was good. Yeah. I don't want to go too much into it. I'm getting my hair cut today.
And you
are. I'm a little obsessed about it. I'm getting it done today, but it's out of hand. I just got to get
yeah.
it. I'm not coloring it anymore. I gave in to that.
Yeah, well.
But I got to get it cut because I'm really starting to look like Sean Cassidy's lesbian aunt. I really am pulling off that look, I think.
That's
so
a visual.
Sort of
I'm
a
not
B,
sure
sort of, sort of a Butch B. Arthur thing I'm
oh,
pulling
really?
Off. Yeah, so I got to.
Ramin probably doesn't know B. Arthur. Do you know B.
I
Arthur?
Do.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
Broadway star, B.
Well,
Arthur.
I know that.
Yes. But how was your week?
My week was yeah, busy. It was good. It was, you know, I'm going through this therapy thing, you know, with my back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what that is, in short, a ruptured disc in my back. And, you know, when that happens, all hell breaks loose with your body.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, it's actually giving you a very dignified carriage.
It is.
It is. You have sort of a posture that you've never had before. It works for you.
I'm trying to follow my doctor's
You either look
orders.
Like you're in pain or terribly affected.
Yeah, both. Yeah. both of those things. But, it's good. Thanks for asking.
Oh, well, good.
And, you know, nightclub is going great and... all of that stuff is keeping me busy. Way too busy, actually. But
yeah,
it's okay.
Well, that's good to be busy.
Yeah, thank you. Shall we try our
yeah,
guest?
Yeah, I'm gonna. We had a little trouble reaching him,
yes.
but if we have a little more trouble reaching him, I'll leave him the number to call in, and then we'll just get started with Mark.
You know what? Use my phone.
What's that?
Can you use my phone and do it? Or does it have to be through the...
Oh, no, it has to be
oh,
through,
okay,
the, through the system.
Okay,
yeah.
He
yeah.
might be thinking that you're calling or that I'm calling, but I told him you were calling.
No, no. Well,
yeah.
well give him the intro, and I will attempt to reach him with our
All
electronics
right.
here.
All right, we'll do that. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, and on joining us on the phone, rather, is our first guest. He performed the title role in Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera more than 2,000 times during his run on Broadway in Los Angeles, and where he remains the longest-running Phantom, and in San Francisco, where he received the Bay Area Critics Award for Best Actor. Subsequently, he was chosen by Hal Prince and Lloyd Webber to play the leading role in the world premiere of Whistle Down the Wind. He now adds director to his extensive list of credits, having just helmed the critically acclaimed musical theater production of Oklahoma at the Carpenter Center in Long Beach. So if we have him on the line, I will welcome
him. I am
him.
Calling him right now. All right. I haven't played his applause link yet, but hopefully he is at the ready. This is the great thing about internet radio. No screeners.
Ladies and gentlemen,
on
we're
the
going
fly.
To be welcoming
yes.
a great friend of ours, Davis Gaines.
Davis is there for the pickup. I hope he doesn't have us blocked.
Hello?
It is Davis Gaines.
How are you, Davis?
Well, I didn't answer the phone because it said Palmdale. I'm like, what?
The audience applauds.
You didn't, Davis. You didn't know we moved our studios, did you?
I did not. I hadn't heard that news.
Yeah, we're in the magic. Neat. We're in the magic that is Palmdale. Yes.
I'm glad I answered because I would have just, you know, not even ignored it.
And they said you were a fool to dream. How are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm excellent, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We are better for having you on with us, Davis.
Very, very good.
Well, you're so sweet.
We know that you're busy. You've just gotten out of rehearsal. You're doing a wonderful tribute, part of a wonderful tribute to Jerry Buss this evening down there at.
I am telling you, well, it's just at like 3 o'clock it starts, and I was just on stage doing my sound check, and it's just unbelievable. I can't believe I'm actually here doing it, and the stage is filled with flowers, and it's just and all the trophies, and it's just thrilling. It's thrilling.
Wow.
And it's amazing. And anyone's going to be speaking. It's crazy good.
What are you singing, Davis?
I'm singing Music of the Night. That was the family's request. And there's only two. Well, Randy Newman's performing, and the USC band is doing Amazing Grace, and I'm singing Music of the Night. So it's pretty exciting. And like the list of people that are speaking is just crazy. Shaq and Hal and Pat Riley and Phil Jackson and Jerry West and David Stern and Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson. And crazy.
Oh,
it goes on and on.
Jeez. Not a surprise.
Well, Davis, we have three guests today, so we want to get right to your show that's just doing gangbusters. This is your directorial debut, Oklahoma, at the
Musical Theater
Carpenter
West.
Center.
Carpenter Center.
Yes.
Yeah, Musical Theater West. Yeah, in Long Beach. Yes, it's been quite an interesting journey, and I really love the whole process, and I think we have just a fantastic, young, talented, sexy cast, and everyone seems to be really, really pleased. And I'm thrilled for them and for Musical Theater West doing gangbuster business. It might break all records there, so it's kind of thrilling.
So now,
and,
have you always
I love
wanted,
being a director.
That was going to be my question, David. So had you wanted to for a long time? Were you asked to? Is this particular piece something that you wanted to do?
I directed a couple of small, like, four-person musical things back in New York and in Orlando, but this is truly the first time it's on this huge scale. But if you ask my mom, which she's already told me, she wasn't surprised at all, because as a kid, I was always putting on shows and directing shows, and my sisters and whoever else I could drag into do a show. So I always had that brain of, like, wanting to direct and have my finger in everything. And I learned a lot, and but it was really, really exciting. And I think I've always had, even as an actor, I always think, well, what if it could be done this way? And sometimes my director brain got it by my acting brain, because I
right.
thought, well,
right.
I could do it better. But, you know, we'll see.
I think that's a fairly common affliction. I don't know. Before we forget, I want to throw this out there. Tickets for Oklahoma are on sale now. It can be purchased online at musical.org. I still don't know how they secured that URL. Musical.org.
Exactly.
What did they pay
that's
for that?
That's a good one.
Or by phone at 562-856-1999, extension 4. Tickets may also be purchased at the Musical Theater West box office, located at 4350 East 7th Street in beautiful downtown Long Beach from noon to 6.
That's right.
And the Musical Theater West production performs at the Carpenter Performing Arts Center, and that is 6200 East Atherton Street in Long Beach. And tickets start
at
$20.
Two weekends left. Yeah, this weekend, we start tonight, Thursday through Sunday, and next Thursday through Sunday, and they have two shows on both Saturday and Sunday, so there's some time to see it. But
wow, that's
only two more weekends.
That's a long day doing Oklahoma twice in one day. Yeah, those actors, huh?
Well, today, in fact, today they do on Thursdays, they do a children's matinee at 10 o'clock in the morning. So they've already done Oklahoma at 10 this morning, and now they're going to do it again tonight at 8. But,
oh, my gosh.
It's crazy. It's crazy for them. But we have such a good cast. I mean, we have Laurie is played by Madison Parks, who's 17 years old. She's a junior in high school, and she's the granddaughter of Betty Garrett and Larry Parks. And she just has it in her genes. She's genetically talented. And she's amazing. And Aunt Eller is Sandra McLean. She's an African-American actress. And the Ado Annie is not like the typical Ado Annie. Everything is kind of out of the box, which the audience has seemed to eat up.
So yes, they've all gotten great mentions in the
they have. Mentioned.
And oddly enough, we were talking about Betty Garrett just outside in the lobby today.
Yeah.
I was sharing my Betty Garrett. Well, actually, I heard a Betty Garrett story.
You did.
That she's a lovely
right?
woman.
She is.
She's a lovely woman. Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, I wish she could be here to see Maddie do this. She's just brilliant and beautiful. So she would be so proud.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure she would. Well, this has been a big 6 months for you, sir. I mean, you have won the Best Actor Award in a Musical with our Los Angeles Ovation Awards for your performance.
It's not exciting.
Yeah, for your performance in Silence.
And someone sent me something last night. The LA Weekly Awards came out, the nominations came out, and I got one for Hannibal Lecter in Silence the Musical. So
fantastic.
It's an exciting time.
You were so amazing in that, so I wouldn't be surprised if you comped that, too. And, you know, before we let you go, which we've got just a few more minutes with you, I wanted you to know that there is a professional, musical theater professional colleague of yours that you may not have met, but he holds something in common with you, and that is he has played The Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera in London. And
oh, wow.
Also in Mr. Weber's follow-up production, playing in that, and is quite involved in London's West End, and his name is Ramin Karimloo, and he's sitting in the studio with us today.
Is he right there?
He is.
Well, tell him hello. Hi, Ramin. I was in New York, for the party last, that's for show in the party last 2 weeks ago, so I saw you. I didn't speak to you, but I'm sorry I didn't, but I really enjoyed your work, and I would love to meet you sometime.
It'd be great, and hopefully if I'm here longer, it'd be great to sit down with you and pick your brain as well. I'm a big fan.
That was a swell party, wasn't it? The 25th anniversary party? Crazy.
Great honor to be there as well.
I know, me too.
Wow.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
You are so
welcome, you,
Davis. Thanks for stopping in and taking time out of your busy day, and I hope the event is as spectacular as it should be for Mr. Buss this evening. So thanks for being
part of
that.
And one more time before we go,
just
one more time. It is easy to remember, musical.org. Go there.
Oklahoma. Two more weekends, ladies and gentlemen. Go out and support theater. This is an amazing piece of theater that the Los Angeles Times says in their headline of the review, Oklahoma at 70, you're doing fine.
That's right. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you, guys.
Nice chatting with you again.
It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Always great to have him on.
Such a nice man.
Just
one of the few gentlemen left.
What's that?
One of the few gentlemen left.
Well, we've got
business.
A couple of gentlemen.
Well,
here.
Yes, present company accepted.
And let me introduce the next one, shall
yes,
I?
Yes, please.
Okay. Our next guest is a 22-year career in Broadway and professional theater. He began his Broadway career with Nine, directed by Tommy Toon and starring Raul Julia, 5 Tony Awards. He co-produced Zorba, starring Anthony Quinn, my one and only, 3 Tony Awards, starring Tommy Toon and Twiggy, and La Cage aux Folles, 6 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. If only he could have had some success.
Yeah,
you know?
Well.
Recent projects include the Tony-nominated Broadway production of Dream, Jackie and American Life, Broadway and London's West End productions, the Broadway production of Epic Proportions, the London West End production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, one of the greatest musicals ever written as far as I'm concerned, and the long-running off-Broadway production of Menopause, the musical. Here to talk about his latest project, Divorce Party, the musical, The Hilarious Journey to Hell and Back, about to enjoy its West Coast premiere at the El Portal Theater. Please welcome Mark Schwartz. Mark, I'm trying to get to your music, but I'm having trouble with my
That's
mouse.
That's okay. I'll clap for myself.
Do. Clap for yourself.
Hey.
Why do the mouse batteries always die when we're on the air? Bringing in my own batteries from now on. Anyway, how are you, Mark?
I'm
Thank
great.
Thank you so
great.
Much.
Welcome,
great
Mark.
To be here.
Thank you for taking time out. We know you have to run after this interview.
Yeah. So you got a lot going on.
Tell us a little bit about this wonderful show that's starting previews on the 26th. Is that right?
We start previews on the 26th.
Yeah.
Press openings March 3rd.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, in this particular case, it's a little different for me since I'm one of the conceivers and co-writers as well. As a producer, I've always produced, but this particular time I decided to to throw all that experience into it.
Wear a few more hats.
Yeah. What else? That's what a producer does. About 10 years ago, I originated a show called Menopause Musical, which is basically music everybody knows with parody lyrics. The last 10 years, it's played to over 10 million people worldwide.
And wow, it's a huge
become
shocking,
this... girls following. I mean, everyone comes to it 4, 5, 6 times. They stand in the aisles and have their Paxil bottles out. I was always looking for, after Menopause opened, I was looking for what would be that next subject. And I know when I was a kid, if you came from a home of divorced parents, it was, his parents are divorced.
Big stigma, man. Yeah.
That would never happen. Just like grandma used to call menopause the silent passage. that being said, I started thinking about that subject and starting to research it. And the reality today is that 50% of all first marriages end in divorce. 60% of all second marriages end in divorce.
Really?
Over 70% of most children in a classroom in this country, and all over the world for the most part, come from a home with at least 1, 2, or 3 divorced parents or divorces.
Wow. Wow.
So it's more the norm than it is the exception.
Sure.
And although it's one of life's not pleasant things to go through, really, if it's the end of your life, you might as well, it might as well be. But really, it's as much a new beginning as anything. So what we've done is use the same model as we did for menopause, meaning music everybody knows with parody lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even offer you the song list in the playbill, because that would be giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've
got to hear the melody. Once you learn the rules of the game, you hear the melody, and then you want to hear what those lyrics are, because they're very funny. And what we did was highlight the different things that most people go through in a divorce. And it doesn't matter if you're single, married, or divorced. This is just a fun time at the theater. It's a great theater experience. Try to make everyone identify with it in one way or another. And it really does work. I mean, the world premiere was in January at the Kravis Center in West Palm Beach.
Oh, wow.
And we broke every box office record for the last 20 years. So we never had anything less than standing ovation. So I'm excited about
it. It's a good sign. So this is the West Coast premiere.
This is the West Coast premiere.
Wow.
Yep.
And a great place for it, the Old Port.
Yeah, one of the great legendary theaters, certainly, that we have here in Los Angeles. And on the main stage you'll be. And how exciting is that?
You know, Amar, I'm curious about something, and it's technical. But as a producer myself, I'm always curious about parody. When you parody songs, do you still have to license the music itself, or because it's a parody, is there sort of some scope on that?
Well, I mean, parody. There's a fair use of parody. There was a Supreme Court case, Acuff Music. What we do is. We go to the music publishers and tell them we're going to parody these songs. So, and we invite them to participate in a music royalty pool to the extent that their songs represent, let's say they have 5 songs and there are 20 in the show.
Right.
So they would get 5/20ths of that royalty pool.
Oh, okay.
And we ask them for the license. If they give us a license, great, then they participate. If they choose not to, we assert the fair use, Supreme Court case that... Really says that parody is parody.
I was just always curious about that because I know it's parody is touchy. I do. My company does, and we've done a number of parodies, and I was always just curious about how that
works. Well, Menopause is 10 years later, and music publishers originally didn't want to offer a license, and then subsequently they did.
Yeah. I would imagine so. Yeah. I would imagine so. No, but
I'm just looking at his background here. It's really staggering what you've done, Mark, in your career, and worked with so many, various people: Anthony Quinn, Raul Julia, and I mean, how Mr. Quinn is somebody who always fascinated me as an actor. I'm sure that you have some fascination with him yourself. And
well, actually, Tony is a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he had limitless energy. I mean, after an evening performance, I mean, we'd be in Chicago at the Erie Crown Theater. It's like 300 seats. And he'd be get done with a performance, and he'd drag me downtown to a... You know, Tony wasn't Greek. He was Mexican.
Yeah. Right.
But he played Gustavo the Greek. And,
right.
And so... he was a very, very interesting guy, very talented artist as well, and just fun to hang out with.
A friend of mine, I believe, was in that show with him, Debbie Shapiro.
Yeah, Brad. Debbie was the soothsayer. I mean, she was the storyteller.
Yes.
And Robert Westenberg and Taro Mayer. We had a great cast.
She and I co-starred in a musical here in Los Angeles when we were children, but it was quite successful. Mm-hmm. And I knew then that this girl would have a career on Broadway.
Yeah, she's very talented.
Go on to win a Tony Award, which she certainly did. She was just out here recently performing.
Before I forget, I want to throw out this information for people to attend Divorce Party, the musical. This, of course, is at the historic El Portal Theater. That's 5269 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood, or NoHo, as we in the know say. tickets, elportal.theater.com. Is that correct? I think there might be an errant dot in there. I think it's elportaltheater.com.
I think that sounds right to me.
And of course, theater is the R-E spelling. Elportaltheater.com, or you can call 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111. Of course, the El Portal Theater. Tickets start at $25. Once again, how do you do better than that?
Or you can go to the menopausethemusical.com.
Oh, menopausemusical.com has a link?
It's a fun website.
Okay. Does Menopause Musical link, to this as well?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Good. Fantastic.
Wait, no. You said Menopause Musical.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Divorce Party of the Musical.
Okay. No, because I was going to say, you have a link to Divorce Party.
They're so related.
Well, it's a sequence. There's a divorce, and then there's the menopause. give me that URL again, Mark. What was that? Divorce Party?
DivorcePartyTheMusical.com.
DivorcePartyTheMusical.com.
That would make sense.
Yes. I was like, menopause. Well, yeah. How long after this divorce do we stick with these characters? wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that you're wearing a couple of extra hats, or that you don't normally wear, and how do you like it? I mean, are you enjoying it more than solely producing, or what's the experience been like for
you? I've been very much involved in reworking scripts for most of the shows that I've been involved, mm-hmm. As a producer. So it's not something that's totally foreign to me.
Right.
But in this particular case, writing it, co-writing it with my co-author Amy Botwinick and our lyricist, director, and choreographer Jay Falzone was a lot of fun. It's theater is an ultimate collaboration, so it's fun to collaborate.
Yeah, and when that process is fun, that it transfers.
Yeah, also as a producer, if you get the luxury of writing the show, you get to write it from a producer's standpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to put this up also. So
we don't need the water ballet.
Let's not put in this wish list for designers.
We don't need the water ballet. Right. We don't. Yeah, exactly. No, but that's it's very, very true.
When you see something that you've been involved with, such as Nine, turn into a motion picture. Mm-hmm. What kind of a comparison do you make? I mean, there's nothing truer for me than the actual theater piece involved. And on that film, I was very excited to see it, and then I must say I walked away a little disappointed. Mm-hmm.
I actually have not. I'm a theatrical theater producer, mm-hmm. and nothing's more live and vulnerable than that.
Yes.
When people come to work, they had a fight, their parents are sick, something's going on, they got to check it at the back door.
Yeah.
Hit your card, go in, and find a reason to do it. Do it for yourself, do it for whoever. Very few things translate properly from live theater to film. I mean, some things have been done very well, like Chicago.
Mm-hmm. I would say Hedwig was done very well.
I think so, too. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, also.
Would you agree that Dreamgirls was done well? I thought that was a pretty good film.
You know what? I didn't see that.
Yeah? No. What about you?
I think it was okay.
Yeah?
If you were there to do... I did Nine the same season as Dreamgirls,
mm-hmm.
and they were the runaway hit of the season, and then we opened the last day of Tony eligibility and got nominated for 10 Tony Awards and won Best Musical.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy won Best Director and not Michael, and those were both very close friends of mine for many, 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 many years.
Wow.
Exciting
time.
I was very lucky because I lived in... because I'm from Connecticut originally, and I got to see so many of the original productions. I got to see the original production of Nine. I got to see the original production of Evita with Mandy Patinkin and Patti LuPone. I had a great theater teacher in high school who just, anytime she could, she dragged us all to New York. It was only 60 miles away, and I'm indebted to Joan Voss for that.
Joan, if you're out there.
Yes, very, very, very indebted.
Eileen Barnett, another friend of mine who worked with you in Nine on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
You know, a moment ago you mentioned Chicago as the musical that was translated well?
I did.
And why did it translate so well to film? Because they embraced the theatricality in
Absolutely.
Making it a film. They broke those scenes up and they had them running concurrently, and I thought that was genius.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. Well done.
So now it's a good idea because I agree with you. The show is at the El Portal Theater. This is Divorce Party, the musical. The website for tickets, elportaltheater.com. Theater has the R-E spelling. Or you can call for tickets, 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111. And we're certainly not done. I just wanted to throw that out there and get that information
awesome.
Out there.
Mark, tell me something. When did you first realize as a young as a child? I mean, as a child, did you know that you had this artistic ability that you wanted to pursue? And how did this happen?
Well, I don't know if I knew that.
Davis was saying.
I'll tell you how it all happened for me.
Okay.
My parents, I was born and raised in Brooklyn from a Jewish family. Mm-hmm. And my parents, their mission in life was going to the theater every week. And going to Florida three times a year, whether you wanted to or not. Going to the theater was something that was something my parents did all the time, and they started taking me. And the first show I saw was A Little Abner on Broadway with Edie Adams. And the next one was The Sound of Music with Mary Martin. And as a kid, I looked at that, and I felt it was like a magical world. And I pursued it going through, growing up. I sang, danced, and acted and everything I could all through high school and college. Then I was told by someone who, Joe Papp, to move to the other side of the footlights, and he teach me a lot about producing. And that's how it started.
Wow. And what a sweet place to live, I would think. If I had that backstory, I'd be a very happy person to be living this many years later, still producing theater like that. Because for me, it is just what you said. It's a very magical experience. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Even though motion pictures are very exciting and can be, all that they are, it's still, to me, matches up as when you walk out of a theater after seeing something extraordinary on the stage. It's something that you just, that moment in time, I think you remember for the rest of your life.
Well, and it's not only that moment, but it's also the fact that what happened in that room is only shared by the people who were there.
Exactly.
People can watch a movie and over and over again.
Twice,
but it will never happen again. It's a shared memory, and it's just, and the immediacy of it, what you mentioned.
Also, everybody who is doing it is there together doing it. There's no place to go hide. It's called a company because truly they're a company. They're a family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They bond and they purge their souls together. And that's what rehearsals are about. And you become close with everybody, whereas, sometimes in film, a lot of those people have never been in the same room together until screening.
Yeah.
What do you think, what do you think about this? It's a little pet peeve of mine when Broadway, which, and I understand it from a perspective of theater surviving in New York, and by putting television stars in roles on Broadway in shows to keep them open and to attract an audience. And while some of them are able to fill the bill or the role, as it were, others aren't. And I think it's kind of disrespectful to the production.
Well, it's no different from putting a movie star in a film of a musical, which we've seen happen recently.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, because they're there for their marketability, and that there's actors who could do it far better than them. But it's also a business, and you got to get people in the door.
That's what you're saying then.
No,
anything to get people in the door.
Well, not anything. I mean, but I think that a certain balance has. And one of the things I will say, not to defend it, but one of the benefits of it is that when you get, especially with younger performers, you get the younger audience in, which
True.
Is, if you look at the median age of the ticket buyer right now, and we certainly need young blood in the theater. So that's
a perfect example of what's happening with Jekyll and Hyde. Going back to Broadway with Constantine Maroulis and Deborah Cox, who are pop stars, who it's been given a total facelift scenically and orchestration-wise, it was very exciting. And that's what it's meant for, is to pull those younger people in.
I was going to do that production of Jekyll and Hyde.
You were?
I had a conflict. I can't sing or dance. But the show we're talking about right now, Divorce Party the Musical, is playing at the El Portal Theater. That's, of course, 5269 Lancashire in North Hollywood. It is the West Coast premiere, so do not miss it. Tickets, elportaltheater.com. Once again, theater is the R-E. Or you can call for tickets, 866-811-4111. Tickets start at $25. Go over to the Federal and eat there and have the fish and chips. You can park once. One of the great areas in town where you can park in one place, go eat, walk around.
That's true. It's like being area. In New York. That's
yeah,
why,
exactly.
why we're there.
And you don't even need to drive because they got the
metro.
The train stop, the
that's
metro right there, which my wife and I do all the time because, as you know, I'm a drinker. But that's not really talk about. Mark, thank you so much for having you on. We know that you have to fly because you have a full dance card, as they say.
Yeah, we're in rehearsal and we're getting ready to go 10 out of 12s in tech. So.
But we really appreciate you fitting us in
great,
your schedule.
Great for you guys
absolutely.
To have me on.
And
thank you so
I look forward to seeing it. We're going to get hooked up with tickets.
Yes, Peter's going to take care of us. Thank you,
and we'll
sir.
Get a chance to talk
pleasure
about
to
it again.
With.
Great. Thanks.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Very much.
You're welcome. So we have a live arts calendar.
We do. Michael, do you want me to... why don't you kick it off?
I think I will.
And let our folks know about what's going on around town, and then we'll talk to Ramin next. And,
absolutely. Couldn't be more excited to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Ben Vereen, one of America's most versatile, talented, and beloved entertainers, will take the stage with Men Alive, the Orange County Gay Men's Chorus, at Academy Affair 2013 on Saturday, February 23rd. The Black Tie Optional event, Men's Alive 4th Annual Fundraiser, will be held at the Center Club, 650 Town Center Drive, Garden Level in Costa Mesa. The newly remodeled venue is Orange County's premier private club. Men Alive is a nonprofit 501c3 organization with this mission through music. With this mission, through music, men's voices unite as a vehicle to entertain, educate, bring healing, joy, community, and build bridges to the public at large. During his more than 40 years in the spotlight, Mr. Vereen has become a megastar of both stage and screen. His role as leading player in Pippin earned him a Tony Award, but he is probably best remembered as Chicken George in Roots, the landmark TV miniseries. His other Broadway credits include Wicked, Fosse, Chicago, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Hair.
Once again, a guy who did nothing.
Nothing.
You know, can
nothing.
We get any stars on this show?
He is currently touring in his one-man show, Steppin' Out, with Ben Vereen, in which he pays homage to Broadway, Frank Sinatra, and Sammy Davis Jr. Academy Affair 2013 starts with a VIP reception at 5:30 p.m., followed by dinner at 6:30 p.m., a live auction, and closes with Mr. Vereen and the Men Alive Chorus's performance. Tickets are $175 for dinner, show, and a limited number of tickets for the VIP reception and dinner show are available at $250 each. Tickets are available by going to the menalivechorus.org website.
menalivechorus.org.
And you know, it's a fantastic organization down there. I've become friendly with the marketing folks there, and when I realized they were going to be working with Mr. Vereen, I said, we really need to offer our support, Paul. So.
Yeah, no, and I went to their website, and they've had some big names
yes,
there.
Yes, they have. Liza Minnelli
there
was
recently?
There recently.
Unbelievable.
And, in December, and it doesn't get much better than that, right?
Yeah, no, sounds very exciting.
All right.
Our next guest is an Iranian-born Canadian vocalist and performer who has made a big impact on UN's West End for his work in such roles as The Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera and Jean Valjean in Cameron Mackintosh's West End production of Les Miserables, which I actually saw there in London, another show I was blessed to see.
I thought you were going to say you had to turn that down.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
In 2010, he originated the leading role in Love Never Dies, the sequel to The Phantom of the Opera, for which he received an Olivier Award nomination. He has been critically acclaimed as one of, if not the greatest phantoms of all time, and immortalized the role in the 25th anniversary concert of Phantom of the Opera at the Royal Albert Hall, which is currently being broadcast on PBS. However,
yes,
you can see him live in a much more intimate setting, a setting we've already mentioned, at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on Sunday, April 20th. Please welcome Ramin Karimloo.
How'd I do?
Sounds great.
How did I do?
Welcome. Sounds great.
Was it good?
Did he do it?
I did okay.
Like did you justice?
Okay.
Let's use that.
Well, I have some experience with Iranian people because the director of this film I'm working on, Cyrus Mirakor, he is of Iranian descent, a great, incredibly talented director. But also, and I don't know if I told you this, I have a neighbor in my building named Fatima, and she's Iranian. She doesn't speak any English. I've gone over there, and I helped her with her remote.
I remember
I helped her with a remote, Michael, once.
Yeah.
Once. 3 years ago. She brings us food 3 times a week. And it's unbelievable. Oh. This food is out of this world. It's just incredible. See, well, good deed, one good deed, and I got 3 years of food out of it. She does this thing with chicken and pomegranate. It's like a brown...
Oh, he knows. That's my favorite dish.
What is the name of it?
Zirish polo.
Oh, it's like...
You have to have it with natural yogurt as well.
Yeah, no, the yogurt, and we put it on brown rice, and it's like the chicken, and it's got the pomegranate, and it's like, just kill me.
Wow.
It's so good.
Wow.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about food. We're here to talk about you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
He's had a busy time. He just got here from Japan. He was touring in Japan, singing and working.
Yeah, doing some promotion for the month I'm going to spend there in June.
Yes, for his new CD, Paul.
Yes, I saw. I was looking through the promotional material. This is Human Heart?
That's
right.
This
is the CD?
Yeah.
Yes, and so I'm assuming that's available at all the usual outlets, Amazon and CD Baby and iTunes and the like.
I think so, yeah. I hope so.
You have a more varied career than a lot of people who perform musical theater. You enjoy bluegrass, country. Mm-hmm. You've written... You wrote one of the songs on
this? Four on that album.
Four on it, right. Yeah. And what was first, the chicken or the musical?
You know what? Like, I didn't grow up... And I still, you know, I listened to this interview speaking with Mr. Schwartz. You know, I don't know much about musicals. You know, I know what I've done. I didn't, you know, study it. I didn't grow up listening. I still haven't seen Wizard of Oz or Sound of Music, you know, those films. Mm-hmm. What I liked was the characters I saw when I saw Phantom as a kid. You know, I wanted to be like Danny Day-Lewis. You know, you talk about Nine. Yeah. You know, actors like that, De Niro, Brando. And the Phantom was a character that I thought that's the kind of role those guys would play.
Yeah.
I always loved music, and especially folk and country, because I liked the stories it told. And that's why I think I fell in love with the musicals I saw, the few I've seen in my time, because of the storytelling.
Right.
And it seems like the last 2 years, my career has become so eclectic, you know, and I've been trying new things, you know, when it came to doing TV roles, you know, even playing Jean Valjean. I never wanted to play that role. They talked me into it, and just this weekend I won an award for it, and it turned out to be the best time of my life. I didn't want a record deal, and they found me, and I thought, well, for me, it's always been a matter of, well, let's give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, do you find...
What are we doing wrong?
What? Do you find that that sort of, I don't want to say passive, but that way of working where you just sort of sit back and just do your work, do you think that might be one of the reasons that you have such a broad appeal because you're not... You know, because I know so many actors and performers are all about self-promotion and all about just really, you know, getting their face out there, getting face out. And you say you haven't had to do that, and people have approached you. Maybe it's just sort of a refreshing change.
Well, my theory is I'd rather spend time and energy in bettering my skills.
Yeah.
I've got good agents and good managers. Let them do that.
Yeah.
All I can make sure and have control. I don't have control over anything else other than, am I going to be a better actor? Am I going to be a better musician, a better singer than the last time they heard me?
Right.
My rule of thumb is not to meet expectations, it's to exceed them.
Exceed them.
And, you know, I got lots to learn. I love learning. And I think every time I learn something, whether it's a new chord on the banjo or a new role or, you know, I explore new emotions as an actor, that gives me power. That gives me inspiration.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned the actors that you mentioned for your that inspire you. You mentioned Brando and Daniel Day-Lewis. Do you go at these roles? What's the process? Do you just study them from an, or is it possible to do one and then the other? Learning the songs or performing the songs, is that something that you do at the same time where you're learning the role, or do you really try to wrap your head around the character before you look at the technical?
Yeah, like for me, the music is the last thing.
Yeah.
I look at the story, the lyrics. You know, when it came to Valjean, you know, the reason I didn't want to play it, I just never thought, what story can I tell? I've seen the best in Colm Wilkinson. What can I add that's not going to be an imitation or based on what I saw. You got to live it for yourself. So the best thing to do is always look at the material that's out there. And, you know, you have a novel. And once I started reading the novel, I found my personal conduit to the character. And then the rest, you know, it's there for the taking. The book is just full of inspiring things you can add to the character.
Now, you're going to be a part of the 25th anniversary production, is this correct?
In Toronto, yeah. Brand new production.
Brand new production.
I think it's even...
Wow.
I think it's...
Oh, this is not... I thought you were mentioning the thing that was already filmed, the anniversary concert. This is the anniversary production.
Production.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They want me... Now I'm going to go back as Valjean in Toronto for 20 weeks, or I don't know how long we're doing it for. But I think it's the most newest production, because there was a 25th anniversary around the UK, and they used, you know, Victor Hugo's paintings as the backdrops.
Wow.
It's really beautiful. You know, I think they might...
Well, they just announced yesterday, of course, it is coming back to Broadway.
Yeah, I saw that.
And because the film has propelled, you know, even a greater interest in it, having registered something like $558 million or something like that since its release.
And great to see Colm Wilkinson in it. That was just seeing him in that role as a priest, it was just like...
I still have not seen the film. I can't believe this. Yeah, but I'm going to see it before Sunday.
Ramin, have you?
I have.
Have you?
And what's interesting, when we were rehearsing the 25th anniversary of Phantom, that's when they were starting to cast the film. And I remember walking down the halls and all I hear is... Coming, sir, for you are weary. I'm like, why? That sounds like Colm Wilkinson. Why is he singing that? Huh? I'm looking through all the doors, and there he is. And Blackie, we knew each other from the 25th Les Mis, and he was preparing for his casting for that.
Oh, wow.
And I said, go back a few pages and do the Valjean bit, too. And he did that with the fly, with the big notes.
Man.
I was in heaven. I'm like, personal concert of Colm Wilkinson.
Wow.
But what I liked is... I don't think he was there as a sort of token flashback to the original. He earned his right to be there as an actor.
Yeah.
And I think it's paying dividends for him. He's getting great reviews for the moments he was in that movie. He was great.
He was. And the thing is, if you did not know that it was him and his history with Les Mis, who, by the way, got to see him in the original production in London.
Yes.
Got to see him do it.
Oh, you saw it in London?
Yeah, it was when I was in college. It was like a little theater junket that they used to do. It was like 12 shows in like 14 days. I don't know if I have it right, which is good and bad because you're just exhausted. And, you know, I fell asleep during Anthony Hopkins doing Lear at the National Theater.
Oh,
I actually
nice
fell asleep,
fall.
But it was just because everything was, it was a bit bombastic. We referred to him as Fozzie Lear because he was like, the whole time. It was just a little, but anyway, but no, Colm Wilkinson in Les Mis was just really, you just knew you were seeing history.
Absolutely.
You just knew that you were seeing, you know, history in that performance. But
and it's a great show, you know.
And you just, but that's really, so rather than, because that's always the first question. It's sort of, he's so associated with that role. It's sort of like Yul Brynner and the King. You know, it's just like, but you said going to the source material, going outside the play, reading the actual book, and you just built your character from there, and you were able to sort of get away from passively, you know, borrowing.
Well, that's it, because I was also, you know, I am young, and when I was doing the part, I think I was maybe 31 or 32. So there is with Phantom, it's different. It's much more malleable. Valjean, his age is there. It's part of the, you know, 40-year
exactly.
lifespan.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
But then, you know, I accepted that at some point in the character's life, you're going to be too old or too young.
Right.
So what's my conduit? What story am I telling? And for me, my connection was his struggle with faith and his journey with faith. I thought, I get that. So let's use that as that's my conduit. And then the rest we layered it from there. And that's the fun part. That's the creative process.
Yeah.
It's make-believe. You're just having fun. And the makeup and the lighting, all that, you know, let them do that work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a caricature. I'm going to be a real human and the best I can.
Right.
And you're pretty wise for being such a young man. You know, you're taking...
Actually, you mentioned, though, but I thought you were even younger than that.
I did, actually. But, you know, he's got children. He's got a lovely wife back at home.
No, but you mentioned you were 31, you know, when you, you know, did this. But I didn't even know you were 31 yet.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, he certainly doesn't look it.
But, you know, some of my favorite compliments, I remember my wife was at one show, and during intermission, someone turned to the person beside him and said, how old do you think that Valjean is? He said, I don't know, maybe 50?
Whoa!
That's it. I was like, brilliant.
That's what you can hope for. Yeah, that's what you can hope for. Is your wife a performer as well?
She was a dancer.
Yeah.
We met on the cruise ships.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh.
And his children are 5 and 8 respectively?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And where do you live currently?
Currently, London, England.
Oh, okay.
Just outside of London.
Great city.
But I just got my green card, so I'm going to hopefully start making some moves over here.
Yeah.
Obviously, coming to Toronto keeps me on North American soil, and I love this town. I've never been to L.A., and I'm having a great time.
Oh, you never have?
No.
Oh, well, we'll have to give you some of the hot spots and good restaurants.
Well,
I think
he's finding them. You know, he's got a huge fan base, and when he tweets, I was reading some of your tweets, you certainly get it out there, and people are very excited that he's on our turf.
And speaking of being on our turf, we should let people know when the performance is coming up at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. And I don't know if we've mentioned this venue on the show before, so I'll give the information here. This is at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood. Oddly enough, right across the street from the lovely El Portal.
Yeah.
For reservations, Michael, remind me, the date on this is April 20th?
April 20th, and we're hoping that we will be adding a show or two.
Oh, really?
Yes. We're
oh, great.
That. So we're just going to announce the first show. So.
I've been telling people the wrong date. I thought Sunday, April 21st was the date.
It Sunday is April 20th.
I have to make a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
Are we sure? Well, yeah. Anyway, the Sunday that is on or around April 20th, April 21st, it's at the Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, 5303 Lancashire, and it's 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700. 5:30 to 6 p.m. is the dinner seating with a 7 o'clock performance. Have the fish and chips, I'm telling you.
You know that's not on the menu anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick it.
If you can.
I will stand outside with my picket sign, and I will pick it.
You're funny because I have had a few of our guests said, What? No fish and chips. They're there in the Federal. They're downstairs, however.
Oh,
you can't get them on our menu.
Oh, that's right, because the night that I was there, they hadn't done that custom menu for you yet.
Right. And the reason that
they did a custom menu for me. Because they knew I was coming.
That's correct.
Yeah, and they also and had the women with the palm fronds who were fanning me and that foot massage. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's
yeah. But aside from that.
Anything to get you in the door, Paul.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
We have actually a track here.
I think we should play that and let our listening audience who's not familiar with Ramin
play a little bit of this. Him. This is a song that you may have heard before, but I'm sure it's a wonderful interpretation of it. This is Music of the Night.
Heightens each sensation, darkness stirs and wakes imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses. Unfolds its splendor, grasp it, sense it, tremulous and tender. Turn your face away from the garish light of day. Turn your thoughts away from cold unfeeling light and listen to the music of the night. Surrender to your darkest dreams. Purge your thoughts of the life you
I mean, that is really stunning.
Yes, it was.
It's one of those songs that I got to confess, when I hit the button and I'm looking at the track name here and I'm like, oh, Music of the Night. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it before. Not like this. Really beautifully executed.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful, wonderful cover of it.
And he's going to be singing that, I'm assuming, as part of your concert at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal on Sunday, April 21st. My mistake.
Your mistake.
Yes, my
April 21st. So he was right. So he has tweeted correctly.
He has tweeted correctly.
Yes.
That's good. I don't have to make phone calls.
No, you do not.
Sunday, April 21st at Sterling's upstairs.
But we are hoping to add an additional show, which would be then on Monday.
Why do you have to confuse things? We got it all down. Now you got to add this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens.
It'll be a real intimate setting. That's why I wanted to start, because we're going to further on and hit the road from there on in. But, you know, when I saw the venue and knowing the songs and the style of show we do, so things like Music of the Night, it's going to be even more intimate. You know, it's just going to be maybe stripped back to just guitar and mandolin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'll be that.
It's interesting hearing these songs stripped away.
Like Phantom Unplugged.
Yeah.
Well, Broadway to Bluegrass.
Yeah. Know? Oh, that's great.
And that's the thing. It's these songs, what I want to celebrate them for as well, is they're great songs on their own.
Yeah.
They're great lyrics. And if you take the character out and just, you know, touched him how it personally.
Right. They stand alone as great songs. So you don't have to hear them in the context of the play. And sometimes for the new interpretation, it's better not to.
Yeah, we did this with my, you know, co-writer Hadley Frazier, a concert back home, Edelweiss, just with guitar and banjo for texture.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And we spoke about that too. Yeah. That's interesting because he's never seen the film. He doesn't know.
Well, but that's just it. That can benefit the performance because then you're not tainted and you're not blindly parroting something you don't know. We're out of time, Michael.
Well, we have to tell people how to get there, though. They have to see Ramin in concert at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal on Sunday, April 21st. It's all by reservation only. We urge you to call sooner than later. The show will sell very quickly, and that is 818-754-8700. And you can also go to the website of the Federal itself and or to msapr.net and learn more about that event. Ramin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for being so patient while we got through all the folks that we had today. We're very, very
great
grateful.
Listening to Mark Schwartz.
Wasn't that fascinating?
Speaking with Davis, that was great.
Yeah. Interesting.
Nice.
Michael, as always, great to share the mic with you. And I would like to have Ramin play us off the air with a little more Music of the Night.
All right.
We're going to do that, and we'll see you all next week.
See you on the radio.
Listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.